I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, when children grow up poor in America, how does that affect them through the rest of their lives? The PBS documentary series Frontline spent 20 years tracking the lives of four children who grew up with hunger, instability, and the threat of being homeless. How does hardship impact children with deep-seated trauma and a lifetime of struggle and a desperation to break the cycle of poverty with little success? And later on The Source, the cities of San Antonio, Austin, and the communities in between are growing at a breakneck pace. It's inevitable that this area will become one mega region. This brings promise, but also mega problems. Former San Antonio Mayor and HUD Secretary Henry Cisneros is working to unite the stakeholders to tackle the challenges. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half of the program, we're going to hear from Henry Cisneros about what to expect from the explosive growth along the San Antonio-Austin corridor. But first, about 16% of all children in the U.S., roughly 11 to 12 million children, live in poverty. But that number can be deceiving because there are significant variations by state. Child poverty rates can be as high as 26% in some states. And then there are pockets of poverty within states. So also keep in mind that childhood poverty doesn't occur in a vacuum. There are major contributing factors and risk amplifiers, including intergenerational transmission of poverty. Children born into lower-income families often face systemic disadvantages that make escaping poverty harder, almost impossible. They deal with the persistence of hunger, housing instability, rocky single-parent households sometimes, and deep-seated trauma. In the new PBS documentary on Frontline, Born Poor, we follow the lives of three children living in the grip of poverty and their struggles over 14 years to break out. This is a look at the harsh realities of growing up poor in the United States. Jezza Newman is the director and co-producer of Born Poor. It airs tonight on KLRN in San Antonio at 9 p.m. It will be available on YouTube tonight on the Frontline channel, and it will also be available for streaming on the PBS app. And Jezza, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We have a lot of myths. I have a narrative that we like to tell about poor people in the United States, that somehow it's their fault, that they're responsible for their poverty. But yet you introduce us to children who are living in poverty, and their only crime is that they were born to a family that was poor. What do we see? But how do we look at that myth? How do we hold that myth and still look at what you show us?
Because I think for many, you know, life is a struggle that for many people don't see how that struggle is, and for the fact many people don't get to see or hear about the struggles families like this are facing every day, and people have their own preconceived ideas of what poverty is and what it looks like, which is what we try to do with films like this, is show the reality.
But these kids, we see them over the course of about 15 years, and we start off with them, you're young, and they're speaking, and they're bright, they're articulate, they're able to say such incredible things about their where they are in life. And they're very aware that they are poor and that they are struggling because it confronts them every day. And yet, you know, they speak with determination, like, I'm going to grow up and I'm not going to be poor. I'm going to get out of this. They know that hard work, education, and just, you know, and determination, this is how they're going to do it. So yet there are so many barriers. And we see that over the course of the story that you tell. It is an incredible viewing. I mean, so what did you expect when you started this journey with them?
Well, I mean, when we started the journey, we were telling a story of food insecurity, homelessness, and the effects that had on children, because that's what they were when we first met them back in 2011. What's happened over that journey of time, spending time with them as teens and then now, is that what this film is about is it digs deeply into the cycle of poverty and what that really is. And you learn through these kids, you know, the traumas that you face as a child are real, and they're traumas and often PTSD that you then take into adulthood. And they really articulate well and unpack this. You know, Kaylee, there's a scene in when she's a child where she takes a dog to the pound. And as an adult, she doesn't remember that. She only remembers it because it was in the film. And she articulates how she's learned that, you know, your brain shuts off situations that were trying as a child so that to protect you. So they really articulate that space. And for me, I mean, even Brittany as well, discussing how she was desperate to make change, and she had hopes and dreams, and she's desperately trying to do it, but she just doesn't have the skill set. And to have that introspective is absolutely amazing, to be able to analyze that and see that that's what she's fighting. That's the case, because these are kids that, you know, put down every day. That, you know, as children, they're often bullied, they're told they're stupid, that, you know, society says they don't have a place and that it's all their own fault. But actually, these incredibly bright children, and they just represent thousands of children across America. You know, this is a micro story of three children that's playing out in Texas, it's playing out in every state. And it's about, you know, if they're lucky enough to find that thing that lifts them or gives them that chance, or they meet that mentor who can help them find the path, then they're very, very lucky, but they are the few. And you see that in this film where they start to have to take a check on their dreams. But then also, as Kaylee says, you know, the thing about dreaming and having hope is it allows you to defer the reality of what life really is, you know. And I think that's why Johnny keeps on with his dream of football, is because if Johnny gave up on that dream, and you might sit there and go, oh, what's he doing? Why is he still doing that? But if he quit that dream, what's left for him? You know, what is his reality? And then for others like that, you know, what is your reality if you give up on your dream?
Brittany says something, you're talking to the audience. You could be poor one day too, you never know. And that was chilling.
Yes. And that's, you know, I think for all these kids, it's this point in life now where there is a self-realization and an understanding of what future may or may not be. And on this journey, they've also, you know, suffered tragedy and loss as well. And that's compounded everything else they've had to deal with.
Sorry.
In terms of survival in life.
Yeah. The idea of having their dreams, holding on to their dreams, but I think that young people really need to watch this, not just to talk about poverty, that's important as well, but also to talk about how they should be viewing the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think there's a lot that can be learned from this. I mean, I myself learned from making this film with the kids, because I realized that I, as a parent, I listen to my kids, but I don't really hear them. Yet I'm here in the Quad Cities talking to Brittany and co every day, listening to them for hours and hours on end. So I actually went back to back home and filmed my daughter for 2 hours. And I learned an awful lot about polar ice caps and polar bears and recycling, which I never knew she was thinking about. But to my point is that then I realized I really need to take stock and start listening to them more and spending more time listening to my kids and understanding what their world is, so that then you had a better feel for how they are as a future. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that that's what you can take from this too, is that these kids are forced to adapt and change their futures, right? Because the forces that they're up against are so great. But equally, your child at home, you could be in a perfectly wealthy, decent, you know, your family could be fine. Right. But you know, your kids might want to shape their future differently to the future that you have.
The future comes so quickly. Time moves so fast. We've got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. We're talking about the PBS Frontline documentary, Born Poor. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davies tonight on KLRN, PBS in San Antonio. New Frontline documentary airs at 9 o'clock. Born Poor follows the lives of three children living in the grip of America's poverty and their struggles to break out over 14 years. You will not forget watching this documentary, and you will not forget these children. This will have a long-lasting impact on you if you invest the time to watch it tonight. Jez Newman is with us. He is the director and co-producer of Born Poor. The children, I don't want to give away what happens to the kids, because that's really part of the enjoyment of watching this program. But we do see them, when they're children, talking very bluntly with a lot of awareness and insight into that they are poor. They deal with poverty. They're being confronted with the lack of resources. And you don't really get a sense that they think that it's unfair. They just take it as a reality. I mean, can you talk on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are very sort of aware of their world and their opportunities or lack thereof. And to them, they just have this inability and strength to try to find a way forward in a dream that's feasible or plausible, or they just believe that they are born to do something, for as in Johnny, you know, he believes that football is what he is born to do, so he will just keep doing it. And to be honest, I mean, I just, even I have to stand back sometimes and go, I do not know how you keep doing this. I don't know how Kaylee kept going and kept taking knockbacks, and even, you know, with jobs and the struggles with jobs, etc., and the things she's been through, and, you know, having to leave her home and ending up in a motel, and you look at the things they've been through. I mean, it's the only way you're ever going to experience that in our world, you know, if you're living in a comfortable society, is if you're unfortunate enough to be struck by some natural disaster, then you might end up in a world that they're in for a period of time. But it is quite amazing how they're able to fight through this, all three of them.
Right, but so you see the deep-seated trauma that they have, this, a life of struggle, a life of broken promises, and just the overall unfairness. And so they are dealing with this trauma. And so when you have that kind of trauma, you tend to make bad decisions. We see that. And also that when you do have a catastrophic loss in your family, you really go way down, because you are hanging on to life already by your fingernails. And then we see it in one of the families where they have a big loss, and it really is devastating to them. And you can see it's not just, it was that loss and that was significant, but it was everything else combined. I mean, do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a spiral, and it's a spiral that you fall deeper and deeper into. And also, because there's no, you know, these families can't afford any kind of mental health support. So, and there's nothing there for them. So, you know, they're not actually dealing with it. So they haven't dealt with the childhood trauma that they had, because, you know, if you think about it, if you, every day you wake up, you hear your parents talking about, I don't know if we can pay this bill, we might lose the lights. And then you experience that, where you lose your internet, you lose your lights, you don't have any food in the fridge. And then suddenly you lose your home, and then you're out on the street. This is all trauma, and this builds on you. So then when you take a major hit with a tragedy in the family, that's just, you know, that's overload. So how you ever come out of that, I don't know, if you don't have any sort of mental health support system. And these kids don't, but somehow they do. And Brittany found a way to overcome this, but then also realize and understand why she's gone the way she's gone, and she's done this all on her own. I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal. I think we could all learn something from these three children. Honestly, I'm in awe of them.
You let them speak in their own voice. There is no narration. We don't hear from experts who are talking about, oh, childhood trauma, blah, blah, blah. No, we just, it's there to watch and to absorb. And hearing their voices and their own point of view, it's very, very powerful. I wonder, you know, if they knew that they were going to be portrayed in such a direct kind of fashion.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When we've made the film together, they've been part of that process. You know, I couldn't film them if they didn't want to be filmed. And on occasion, when they were kids, we would rock up and they were too tired and didn't want to film that day. So you just had to put the camera down and just spend a bit of time with them and then pick it up the next day or a few days later. And so they've been very much part of this process. And when I went back to them this time and said, look, we want to do an update, but I want it to be a bit more than that. Can we sort of just, you know, learn a bit more about your, you know, the journey you've been on? They're very open to it. And of course, you know, for Brittany, it was very, very hard given the loss the family have faced. It was very difficult for her to make that decision to talk about it. And it took a little while for her to come around to do it. Johnny, you know, he was on his little journey, and you know, of course, you know, he wanted to be part of it. So they were very open and honest, and I think that that's the beauty of the film, you know. And I've made a lot of films on poverty in the past in the UK and other countries, and also done the versions of here, but I've never had that honor of being able to spend so much time with one set of families, you know, and kids over a period of time. And it is amazing to see how they really do articulate that cycle of poverty and that we all kind of hear about and bound about. And you say for a minute, you know, there are no experts in the film. It's the only moment I would care to contradict you in terms of there are three experts in the film, because they're lived experts. And I don't think anyone can articulate that space more than three people that are living it.
So compare like the style of poverty that you see here in the Quad Cities, which is middle America, the heartland, compared to the style of poverty that you've documented, say, in the UK?
I mean, the sort of themes are very similar in different ways. So, you know, the stigmas attached with poverty still exist. You know, you're hearing the same rhetoric around, you know, you're just lazy, you're stupid, you're not making an effort to get out of poverty, you just want to have kids so that you can get more money type thing. Obviously, we have a social, we have a better social network system in the UK, and you have National Health, and you have a bit more of a support network there, certainly with housing as well. But in general, the sort of bigger themes of what you suffer and the attempts to try and break your way out and that whole being able to lift yourself out are very, very similar no matter where you are in the world. I think what happens is that obviously in the developed world, there's a greater expectation that you should be able to be other things or have other things because you see other people around you with them.
We see the food banks playing a significant role in helping these families out. You know, thank goodness we have food banks, and food banks are direct support for families who are suffering in this area. I mean, you were able to document that. I mean, how important were the food banks to these families?
Oh, the food banks are absolutely crucial. They fill a gap when there's a need. I mean, again, you know, most of the families I've met, contrary to popular belief, don't want to spend their entire life going to a food bank. they would rather be working and they would rather be earning their own money. But it is absolutely crucial for those moments when things haven't worked out or you've lost your job. And that's the other thing in America, too. I think what you find with food banks is there's so many more working poor going to food banks at the moment. On my journey of telling the story, even just the Geneseo one that I visited to film Brittany, you know, they were telling me that they've had a massive increase in the number of working poor. So people that just, you know, are on minimum wage, rents have gone up, food prices have gone up, and they just can't afford to, you know, everything they need to on their wage. So that's where food banks are absolutely crucial, because it's not just those who are in absolute poverty or homeless. It can be people who are actually paying rent and working who need to use them.
So these families, they're on the part of the economy that's the most vulnerable. When times are flush, when the U.S. economy is doing really well, there's extra jobs, the big box stores hiring on contractors able to get work. It's just when the economy goes bad, you see those numbers. We see these reports about how, well, the unemployment number goes up and families are really suffering. And we're seeing that right here, that this is when we have an economy that is dragging, these are the people that are paying the price. And frequently, they're not really part of the story that we should be telling, shouldn't. So how do we keep them in mind?
I mean, again, it's, you know, if you personally, it's, you know, there are food banks and there are school support things that you could get involved in. And people, you know, it's watching documentaries like this. It's, you know, talking to your local, you know, lots of food banks are run through local churches. So many people who might be a church goer can look into their church. I'm sure they do something. And then people who aren't, there are all sorts of organizations out there. So it's about, you know, trying to find a way to support those, because they're in desperate need at the moment because the numbers are high. And this is, you know, we are talking about people that don't want to stay on this forever. You know, that's the misconception we need people to understand. These families are not looking to live a life of food banks. You know, they just want it for a moment so they can then get themselves on their feet. And like you say, you know, job security is very difficult. And then when you've got a lot of jobs that are coming in that are minimum wage and they're not guaranteed hours, that makes it really hard. And then in rural areas such as the Quad Cities where we're filming, you know, and there's a lot of rural areas where there aren't great bus networks or anything. So, you know, if your vehicle breaks down and you can't afford to fix it, you lose your job, you know, and you know, unless you're lucky enough to be close enough to walk to it.
The end of the documentary, you see the words "to be continued." So you're going to continue following these three individuals?
That's the plan at the moment, as long as they're happy to stay with us. But at the moment, yeah, we'd like to carry on and see what happens. The next chapter of the life is when, you know, Brittany, Johnny's children are the same age as they were when I first met them, which would be a really fascinating look at.
Yeah. So we're talking about the intergenerational transmission of poverty, looking at poverty almost as if it was a virus or some sort of hereditary disease. The fact that, you know, they develop a mindset or habits or, you know, this something that they need help in order to break out.
Yeah. Or, and it's about do they get that help? You know, do you get that break? Do you get that moment, that mentor, that one person that says, actually, you know what, I'm happy to give you a hand with this? Or, you know, will that happen? You know, will Odin or Elena get that chance? You know, will they get that lift? Or will they be left to struggle on their own and hope that, you know, Brittany can achieve what she's setting out to achieve? But the one thing is, they are incredibly intelligent people and incredibly articulate. So whatever happens, these three kids have achieved this film, because this film would not exist without them. So that's a massive achievement, to be able to articulate to the world the sorts of issues we're talking about.
Yeah,
in a way that's incredibly engaging and at times actually quite funny. I mean, don't get us wrong. I don't want everyone to think they're going to watch something that's incredibly depressing all the time. There is humor in it.
Yeah. So any one of these kids, had they had just a little different background, a little bit more opportunity, They could have been community leaders, big contributors. It just seems like we don't have a true upward mobility in the United States, and we do not, and we see that here. We are robbing ourselves of tremendous talent.
Absolutely. I mean, there are neurosurgeons out there living a life of poverty that will never become neurosurgeons because they will never get that opportunity or that lift or that education, which had they had, they could be. And, you know, there'll be inventors, there'll be artists, all sorts out there who will never be realized because of
wasted potential. Jazz Newman, he is the director, co-producer of a documentary, Born Poor, PBS Frontline, airs tonight at 9 o'clock on KLRN, a profound look at America's enduring problem of childhood poverty. Thank you so much, Jezza. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me and for your listeners for listening.
And The Source continues after this. We're going to hear from Henry Cisneros about the mega metro. Stay with us.